present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello and welcome to the first in a new series that tells you not so much what's been happening in the world, but more about what Richard Ingrams has missed. Before we meet the teams, though, we say hello to Brian Perkins, who has an important announcement from the Odeby and Wigston Mail.
Unmarked police cars will be operating in the Wigston area during the week beginning June the 10th. They will target drivers who disregard traffic laws and other road users. The cars have blue flashing lights at the front and back, along with a police stop sign and an optional blue light for the roof. Police officers will wear full uniform when in the cars and caps when outside their vehicles.
And you can't get more secretive than that. Anyway, many thanks to Jill Smith of Leicester, who obviously had her eyes peeled. Time for a few introductions now. As ever, on my right, the team who wouldn't recognise the right answer if it came with a dozen flashing lights, Richard Ingrams and Ian Hislop. On my left, the men with more answers than we have questions, Mark Stein and Alan Corran. We go straight into round one with a tale from the Daily Telegraph.
After several days of trying, engineers in São Paulo have been unable to demolish 9 blocks of flats condemned because they could collapse at any moment.
We'd like to thank Ida Cook of Southampton for sending us that. Richard, it falls to you to answer the first question of the series, although any answer from you in this series is probably optimistic. Richard, right. Who scaled new heights of disrespect by not making it to the summit?
Well, you've billed me as this man who doesn't know anything at all, and I think I have a duty to live up to this reputation.
You could always make me a liar by getting the answer.
Is it one of those Russian gents?
It is.
Well, is it old Boris?
It is.
Ah, the Grocer Heath lookalike. old Boris, Gorby asked him to come along to the Bush summit. And Boris said he'd got better things to do. He'd got to join the bread queue in wherever it is. Something like that. And this was...
He'd put his name down for a McDonald's, I think.
That's right. And this was regarded as a terrible snub for old Gorby. There you are. How about that?
That's excellent. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you, Daily Telegraph.
Yes, the answer is Boris Yeltsin, Russian president and all-round Mikhail taker, who declined to attend the US-Soviet talks in Moscow. To make up the numbers, Britain's Chancellor Norman Lamont was invited along to explain how to convert a Soviet-style ailing, decrepit economy into a British-style ailing, decrepit economy. Ian, who accused whom of stirring up a desert storm in a teacup?
Well, I think we're going to go for broke, Richard.
Yes, very interesting. it's to do with Saddam Hussein, isn't it?
Yes.
And it was alleged that he'd sent in this order for a lot of medical supplies, these little bottles of plutonium and packets of uranium to make pills with. And this was made into a big scandal by the newspapers. And
typically, irresponsibly, suggesting there's something wrong in supplying uranium
and
to
minister,
mad people.
The minister responsible, I can't remember his name.
Alan Clark.
Yes, it might have been Alan Clark.
No, Peter Lilly was the man who made the silly remark. Clark made the silly decision.
Well, that puts us fair and square in that political court.
It's disgraceful to suggest a man can't order up a bit of plutonium and uranium for medicinal purposes only, you know.
Exactly.
Particularly not from a country he's at war with. Why not?
Absolutely right.
Tense nervous headache, nothing acts better than a scud, you know.
You can tell Richard's getting old from the fact that he uses "it is alleged" in the context of Saddam Hussein for fear of ending up in Baghdad Crown Court. Well, if I could say at this point, if Theresa Gorman can get 150, Saddam's after us.
God, I'm glad I don't live in Billericay. But then it's everybody else that lives there feels that as well. You're absolutely right, Richard, and you answered yet another question correctly. This is Peter Lilly's response to Labour claims that chemical and nuclear weapon components were sent to Iraq under British export licences after it had invaded Kuwait. The Trade and Lack of Industry Secretary was at pains to point out that the value of the plutonium consignment was just £96, effectively doubling British exports for that month. Let's go over to Brian now, who has some bad news about an early election.
More people can recall the names of Snow White's seven dwarves than remember the heads of the British government. A survey by the American newspaper, The National Enquirer, revealed that 10% of people couldn't put a name to the face of Prime Minister John Major, while 82% could name more dwarves than cabinet ministers.
Or couldn't tell the difference. But many thanks to Sally Fleming of Rickmansworth, who saw that in the European. So there's the reader. Mark, your question now. Which wind-up turned out to be a wind-up?
I've got the impenetrable fraud question. This is the BCCI bank.
Quite right.
And it is now, they're now amazed, they are now trying to track down the one news story of the last 10 years that hasn't anything to do with BCCI. General Noriega, his drug money, Abu Nidal, warehouse fires in London, and apparently the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi is going to revitalize the bank and keep it clean so that you'll be able to go in and get your money laundered in, you know, 48 hours. Just like, I always think, when they talk about laundering money, I always think it's like, you know, one of these places and it's full of coin op machines. And you have to go in there and you say, I'd like to have my money laundered. They say, well, you'll have to wait. There's General Noriega ahead of you, Abu, you know, Abu Nidal.
Absolutely, you got it right. It's all about fraud-ridden BCCI, the bank that likes to say, nice stuff, man. And it's winding up order adjourned in the High Court until December, yes, pending a possible rescue package by its majority owner, the Sheikh of Abu Dhabi. Or in view of so much laundering that's been going on, Sketchleys. Alan, I wonder if you can remember what comes next.
I'm singing in the rain. Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feeling. I'm happy again. I'm laughing at clouds so dark up above. The sun's in my heart and I'm ready for
love. I couldn't understand this. I came back from France yesterday and I hadn't known what was going on because it was in a rather obscure part. And all the newspapers were full of crown heads and cabinet ministers in Packamacs, grinning at one another with all this stuff coursing off them. And they'd all convened. I also came back to find that there was something called a gay outing. I didn't know what that was. They thought perhaps they'd all been on a gay outing to Hyde Park with their raincoats. And the heavens had unfortunately opened while they were in flagrante Pavarotti. But it's to do with the Big Ben banjo band, and none shall sleep and all shall get extremely wet.
The Telegraph had a very good headline, though, which was torrential rain in all areas. Very good. <That's
laughs> The Independence was awfully good. Cloudburst nearly ruins concert. Terribly good, I thought.
Guardian had areas, which rather killed its joke.
Pavarotti.
Yes. Alan, here's your question.
What?
I'm not going to give you the Google. You've answered the whole thing. And the answer is, as you quite rightly say, it's all about people getting wet. An estimated 100,000 people braved the elements to attend the free Luciano Pavarotti concert in Hyde Park, while many more stayed away unaware he'd been arrested. Free Luciano Pavarotti. The world's greatest tenor sang operatic arias in torrential rain to the crowd, which might have been much larger. Well, if you've got Pavarotti in Hyde Park, there isn't much room left for him. As is traditional on the news quiz, the score at the end of the first round, 4-4. Well played, gentlemen. Round two begins with a chilling tale seen in Care Weekly.
A Birmingham city councillor is claiming that children in a home in Stechford are watching pornographic films. The Conservative prospective parliamentary candidate for Perry Barr, Graham Greene, alleges that children stay up late to watch foreign soft porn programmes which involve Germans wearing flared trousers.
The things they get up to, all the same. Unbelievable. Anyway, thanks to Ian Ross of Hastings for sending us that cutting. Richard, your question again. What turned into the non-event of the 10 years?
The non-event of the 10 years? It's the 10th anniversary of our friend.
Yes.
Is it?
That's quite
nice. Earl Matey.
Go on. Do it.
Prince Matey.
Prince Matey.
Yes,
it.
Well, it's rather upsetting, really, because... What was the non-event?
This is 10 years of Charles and Di, isn't it?
It is 10 years of Charles and Di,
Charles
yes.
And, Di.
And they had a quiet dinner with each other.
That's right. That's right, they had a quiet dinner with each other at Highgrove with only their personal butler, the chef, the pastry cook, the wine waiter, and the mass bands of the Grenadier Guards company.
And he said to her, see you again in 10 years' time.
Mark, your turn for a musical clue.
Both on their knees, praying to God, confess so that he may bless them on their wedding day. Everybody pray that they may be safe and true as they say I do. Mother didn't give her abuse, she didn't forget her shoes. Uncle Jerry opens the wine, everybody has a good time.
Mark, who's going home to 26 unfriendly welcomes?
Well, I had no idea what that piece of music was, but I think the giveaway line is something like, she's not going to forget her shoes. Is that it? This refers to the former First Lady of the Philippines, Mrs. Imelda Marcos, who's being allowed home. She's refused to come home to stand trial for all the money she and her husband allegedly lifted from the Philippines during their term in office, so they figure the only way they can get it back is to have her come back into the country and pay excess baggage on her footwear.
Alan, who went out with the blue light to see if the red light should be given the green light?
I don't know this, but it's about policemen, prostitutes and all that, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, well, that's enough. That'll do. anything more will be highly unsavoury. I'm glad it's not about the budget that was lost at sea. Did you see that?
What?
Wonderful story. Three fishermen off the Dogger Bank found... No, it's true, they've got a budgie in their net. It's in the Telegraph yesterday. And they dried it out, as you can on a boat. They all have blow-wave machines in them. Well, you know sailors and they're gay, aren't they? Anyway, so they clean this budgie, and they put it in a cage, and it bit through the cage and swam back into the sea. I don't think it's about that. I think it's about these policemen who went out investigating prostitutes and... Well, that was about the top and bottom of it, as we say in the prostitute game. I have my 2 points.
No, only get one. Only get one.
No.
You only get one.
It happened in Gala Shields.
What?
No.
I have nothing about Gala Shields.
Here.
We
That's
don't want
here nor there.
We don't want any McEnroe-type behaviour from you, Alan.
I'm not going to shout that ball was out in the context of this particular.
No, don't. But hang on to that thought, ladies and gentlemen. We come to it in a moment. The only reason you only get one, Alan, is because this concerns Euro MP Anne McIntosh, who, aided by Southend Vice Squad, posed as a lady of the night to see for herself how the world's oldest profession might be legalised in 1992. Punters seemed to be scared off by her young farmer's sweatshirt. But what else would you wear to go out with the pigs looking for oats? And the scores at the end of the round two are
Rob.
Extraordinarily Alan and Mark 7, but Richard and Ian in the lead with 8. Let's start round three with a memo from IBM to their branch offices.
Mouse balls. If a mouse fails to operate, or should it perform erratically, it may need a ball replacement. Because of the delicate nature of this procedure, replacement of mouse balls should only be attempted by properly trained personnel. Before proceeding, determine the type of mouse balls by examining the underside of the mouse. Domestic balls will be larger and harder than foreign balls. Foreign balls can be replaced using the pop-off method. Domestic balls are replaced by using the twist-off method. Mouse balls aren't usually static sensitive. However, excessive handling can result in a sudden discharge. It's recommended that each replacer have a pair of spare balls for maintaining optimum customer satisfaction. And that any customer missing his balls should suspect local personnel of removing these necessary items.
Thank you, Brian. And we must thank, I think, Graham Hodges of Hove for letting us have that one. Richard, who is tailor-made to become number eight?
The answer is the fat woman's marrying someone else. Is that right?
Yes.
Pavarotti.
I saw a very good cartoon
Of
the happy couple at the altar, and the vicar saying to them, "Is it your usual?"
No more Mr. Nice Guy over here. He gets 1 point for that, because we have the name.
That's right.
Right.
We have a name.
Exactly
it's a,
right.
It's a foreign name. Foreign name.
Mr. Taylor.
Larry.
Larry.
Yes. What's his surname then? Jablonski.
There's only one half a point.
Yes. This concerns Elizabeth Taylor, the 59-year-old serial bride.
Yes.
Who is to marry for an eighth time. Unless this is the Monday repeat, in which case it may well be number nine or ten, who met her latest victim, sorry, husband-to-be, truck driver, Fat Larry Fortensky. At the Betty Ford Clinic, where Miss Taylor was being treated for her addiction to wedding cake. I see nothing to argue with that.
She's marrying him for Tensky or for worse.
Just lost the point.
Anybody got any garlic we can wave in front of? Ian, we usually give you a musical clue at this point, but tonight we thought we'd give you this instead.
I gotta go to Piccadilly, gotta Piccadilly of a day to do it on. Get a moving on the Buckingham beat. Go to King's Road, pick me up a nice real sweet girl.
That was Des O'Connor.
Really?
Ian, how were music lovers cheered by the sound of silence? It's about the man who was doing the singing.
Des O'Connor?
Yes.
So...
We know over here.
Fat Larry O'Connor.
Go on, tell us over that side.
Fat Larry O'Connor has had problems with his voice. He's been told to rest it.
That's right.
But it's coming back. It's like Des O'Connor's voice 3. Comes just, out of the bait just when you
thought it was safe to drink the water.
That's really excellent. You get 2 points for that. That's really very good indeed. This is the sad news that Des O'Connor, comic and vocalist, mysteriously lost his voice after drinking a glass of water. The mystery being, since when has Des O'Connor been drinking water? Mark, who appeared to throw her voice down under? Or who appeared to throw her voice down under?
Is a question related to Australia?
Yep.
It's someone called Betty Boo.
Oh yes, this is, and the thing about Des O'Connor is, at least when he drinks his water, he loses his voice. If Betty Boo drank some water, it apparently doesn't make any difference. I thought we'd have a musical example, as the music's been so down to standard on the series so far. But Betty Boo is a rap star, and she came out at a concert. Her microphone fell to the floor, but her voice mysteriously continued singing. And it turned out that she was mine. And you know,
It's alleged.
If you... now they've blown another 150,000 quid. Can Theresa Gorman sing? Yes, very well.
Alan, who hasn't got the royal stamp of approval?
This is really rather a sad story. This is a bloke called Blumenthal. He was the mayor of, I think, Birmingham. And there was one of those photographs that you and I come back with from our holidays that always show me and the missus and some dingbat looking in the corner of the And the country of Granada sent their photographer out and got Her Royal Majesty and, the Royal Septuagenarian Consort standing on a balcony, pointing at something. A gull fly past or something like that. And in the corner's this bloke with a chain round his neck. And he's not supposed to be there because he's a commoner, despite being the mayor of Birmingham. But the Grenadiers are going to push on with this stamp, and it is a precedent. And a Stanley Gibbons spokesman, Stanley Spokesman Gibbon, was asked for his comments, but they weren't very interesting. He said they weren't worth anything, actually, these stamps, because millions of them have been produced.
Quite right, it's all about the new Grenada $2 stamp, which includes the face of former Birmingham mayor and commoner Harold Blumenthal, alongside the Queen and Prince Philip, pictured at a function in 1989. The printers have explained that beaming Councillor Blumenthal's inclusion was an oversight, but how the miserable-looking Greek got to stay in it is still a mystery. And at the end of round three, the scores are Richard and Ian 9, but Alan and Mark have leapt into the lead with 14. And well deserved. Round four opens with some cheering news from the Swainswick Langridge and Woolley Parish newsletter.
And we have news from Carol Beatty. After 3 weeks in England attending a tropical medicine course and visiting family and friends, Caroline is now back in Brazil to begin her 3 years missionary position.
Thank you, Mary Walker of Southampton, for keeping us informed about that. Richard, a little number to gladden your heart.
When I, good friends, was called to the bar, had an appetite fresh and hearty, but I was, as many young barristers are, an impecunious party. I had a small tailcoat of a beautiful blue, a brief which I bought of a booby, a couple of shirts and a collar or two, and a ring that looked like a ruby.
Richard, who took the stanza in defence of the rhyme? It's easy, this one.
Lawyers?
Ever so easy. I think it's just up your street.
It's to do with lawyers. Homosexual lawyers being outed.
Yeah,
they said they were going to out all these lawyers.
It's about, come on, tell me the other
about a chap called David Osborne.
Absolutely right.
At Oxford Crown Court.
Yeah.
Who created a precedent, just like Mr. Blumenthal, popping his head round the corner, by doing his summing up in verse. It has not happened before.
He did his summing up in reverse.
In reverse.
Because usually judges sum up in reverse and no one notices.
Wasn't the judge, he was
the barrister. The rapping QC.
He did his summing up in verse.
The Betty Boo of the past. Yes. Of the
Betty Boo
of the past. I can't even say it now. If they ever bring Open All Hours, I'll be perfect. It's half.
Did he win?
What?
No, he was miming, so the case was thrown out.
Ian, your question now. Who has built up a £100 million loss? Built up.
Oh, yes. I know this one. This is Mrs. Thatcher's favourite builder. Barrett.
Right.
The man who creates Barrett homes.
Yes.
Which are named after him. He's lost a stack of money. Because Mrs. Thatcher, having retired, didn't want to buy his home after all. And flogged it off and bought some other house. And everybody else in the country can't afford to buy any more Barrett's homes. No, not even the Barrett's home is now within anyone's grasp. So he's lost 100 million.
You get your marks. So this is all about Barrett homes, constructors of houses to the gentry and the Thatchers, who have called their founder, Laurie Barrett, out of retirement to sort out the slight problem of their profits going down the toilet. Or, as it's known in polite Barrett homes, the largest room in the house. Finally, Alan, where have anti-drug agencies been caught on the hop?
Mr. Moon in his lucky horseshoe.
What?
We are really not having Mr. Moon in his lucky horseshoe. We saw that in the gas main. Michael, Mr. Moon.
I noticed the gays have been protected, too. Yeah. Nothing about the gays.
I don't know.
They're skating over them, aren't they?
Yes.
This is thoroughly unpleasant.
We want to out this question.
Yes.
Where's the question about outing?
Gormans?
Anything about Gormans?
As long as it begins with G, we're happy to have this question. But
the gay Gormans.
A well-known dance.
No,
very popular in Billericay.
I don't know this.
The hormone question.
Drugs on the hop.
Yes.
Anti-drugs.
Frogs. What?
Hormones.
This is... This is Arthur
the first... Kirstler has back with us.
I'm pleased. This is the first question, I think, since I've been on this programme, that has to do with my native land of Canada,
yes.
If I'm right. And in
you can all turn off right now.
Try and...
Canada, eh?
Wow.
Try and... Look, the Billericay of North America.
Now, honestly, it's not that long an answer, and there's not much about Canada in it. But in Canada, which is it's a very interesting country, we have a very good social security system in Canada. Are you still awake at the back?
I remember when Ned Sherrin called Milton Shulman the Hazlitt of the prairies. Sorry,
well,
carry on.
Well, out on the wide open spaces where men are men and the winter evenings are already drawing in on the frozen tundra, there is a new pastime. Apparently, if you're fed up with having to go to the city and buy expensive drugs, all you need to do now is to get the giant Manitoba toad and lick his back. And apparently it gives you a high that is far stronger than LSD. And since the government put out a warning that in fact Canadians were not to go around licking these toads, all the pet shops have sold out.
This concerns Canadians in search of a drug-induced high who've been licking the LSD-like slime from the backs of large green toads. It's a case of tune in, turn on and hop out. But before we see the final score, let's have some cuttings. Over to you, Richard. Got a cutting for us?
News about prison news from Winchester. It says a young mum taking her son to visit his paternal grandfather in Winchester jail has had £200 worth of baby equipment stolen. The prison is refusing to accept liability for the loss, saying visitors are responsible for their own property. But a spokesman admitted a sign waiving responsibility had itself been stolen.
Ian.
This is from The Independent. It's a very interesting paper, goes down well in Canada. Three deaf mutes broke into the music room of a New Zealand school. They stole a set of bongo drums. They were arrested after failing to hear a burglar alarm go off.
Mark.
This comes from the Glasgow Herald, and it's a story about the United States, which is a country south of Canada, actually. It goes, the British Embassy in Washington has been inundated with calls from Americans anxious to observe protocol during the Queen's visit to the United States. But the State Department's protocol section has done its best to ensure that there is no social mishap, such as the gaffe in 1976 when President Ford whirled the Queen around the White House dance floor to the strains of "That's Why the Lady is a Tramp."
Alan, what have you brought us?
Well, I brought one from the Sydney Morning Herald, Barry.
God bless you, Alan.
And it says, Robert Leese, a taxi driver who wears an SS cap and long boots, dresses in black, and entertains his passengers with tapes of the Horst Wessel song, has had his license to drive a taxi revoked. Mr. Leese said he would fight any attempt to take away his license. I'm disgusted, he said. This is the sort of thing that happened in Nazi Germany.
Thank you, Alan. The scores at the end of the show are Richard and Ian 11, but Alan and Mark well in the lead. This week's winners with 17. Before we leave you, we've just time for this, seen by Dr. R.N. Herring, in the Chelmsford Weekly News.
In a Chelmsford Magistrates Court case report in the Weekly News last week relating to the removal of a car bonnet, we stated that an 18-year-old man held up the bonnet while Mary Randall, 19, cut the hinges with a bolt cropper. This is incorrect. In fact, the man used his bolt croppers to cut the hinges while Mary Randall held up the bonnet. We apologise to the Randall family for any distress this error has caused.
So with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Richard Ingrams, Ian Hislop, Mark Stein and Alan Corrin. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Brian Perkins. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Diane Messias.